To be more than going back and forth from doing right to doing wrong, cause we were taught that's who we are. Come on, get in line right behind me, you along with everybody, thinking there's worth in what you do. No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars, still the truth is the cross has made.
The cross has made you flawless.
Cross has made you flawless. No matter the hurt or how deep the wound is, no matter the pain, still the truth. Simply can't believe that this unconditional kind of love would be enough to take a filthy wretch like this and wrap her up in righteousness. But that's exactly what he did. Take a breath, smile, and say right here, right now, I'm okay because the cross was enough.
And like a hero who takes the stage when we're on the edge of our seats, saying it's too late. Well, let me introduce.
No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars, still the truth is a cross has made. made you flawless.
And I know some of y'all were probably thinking last week that you were going to get to park right by the door this week. Right? Anybody think that? First weekend of rifle season, I'm going to park right by the door. Well, I'm sorry, but it wasn't the case today. All right, I'm sorry you had to park a little bit farther than you were expecting, but that's a good thing to see so many people opening day. And you know, I tried to hunt yesterday, but I might as well have just been on a nature walk looking at all the squirrels and the birds and the acorns and every beautiful thing about the woods, yet didn't see a single deer. But that's okay. I just want to ask you, has anybody here ever rented something? Have you ever rented, I mean, anything, house, car, tools, whatever. Anybody rented something? So just to let y'all know, Michaela and I have been married for a little over 5 years. We've never owned a home. Part of that was because I was in the Marine Corps, and I didn't want to buy a house in one spot and then 6 months later end up in another location and have to sell that house, be stuck with two homes and payments. So we've never owned a home because we've moved 8 or 9 times in the last 5 years. Yeah, you talk about challenge your marriage right out of the gate. Move a lot. All right, pack boxes with one another. Carry those boxes with one another. But over the time, we've never owned a home because we were moving, and you know, we've only lived in most of our homes for about a year at a time. And now that we've been here at Pleasant Hill, we've maxed our time in one spot. So praise the Lord for that. But all of this time, and other than maybe our 3 month stint in Moberly, there's always this desire when you rent something to make it your own. Right? I mean, when you're renting a home, you want to make it your own. You want to paint different colors on the walls, hang things up in different areas. We rented one townhouse in North Carolina where they didn't want us to hang anything on the walls because they didn't want nail holes in the walls because they didn't want to have to refill them whenever the next tenant would come in. So we wanted, every time we've lived somewhere, we've had this desire to make it our own. And you know what I'm talking about if you've ever rented something. You have this desire to make it your own, but there's this reality that it's not. So we have a desire to make this home our own and hang things there and paint this wall that and place this over there, but the reality is that it's not our own. And if you've ever rented something, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You have a desire to make it your own, but really, someone else owns it. So now what I want you to do is, I'm going to demonstrate for you all, and I want you to just kind of follow after me. I'm going to demonstrate it from, you know, the whole thing. Nothing more, nothing less, just do as I do. That felt good, didn't it? Take it. Okay, let's try again. Take a deep breath. Just let it all out. All right? Let it all out. I'm sorry if someone behind you didn't brush as well as they should have this morning. Okay? I'm sorry. But just let it all out. Isn't it nice sometimes to just take a breath? I mean, life right now, this time of the year, is crazy. Thanksgiving is less than 2 weeks away. Christmas is just over a month away. And then, you know, we get right into 2018. So I've decided I'm going to start my New Year's resolutions tomorrow instead of waiting until next year. I might as well just start them. You know, it's better late than never. So we'll go ahead and start. But sometimes life is so crazy that sometimes it's just nice to sit on a couch, walk to the house, and just breathe with no burdens, no distractions. I mean, has anybody ever, like, just enjoyed to sit on the couch and do nothing for 5 minutes? I love it. I love it. But as soon as that 5 minutes is up, your phone rings or someone calls the house or someone messages you on Facebook or you've got to get up for work or you've got to do something. And the reality is we love to just take a breath. But can I tell you something? Can we do it one more time? Can you do it one more time? Did you know that's not yours? Did you know that breath you just took is not yours? Did you know that? The breath that you just took is not yours. Now, we have a desire to make it our own, but the reality is that if we go back to Genesis chapter 2, we find something really, really neat. So if you go to Genesis chapter 2, and I'm not going to ask you to flip this morning because we're going to be all over the Bible. We're going to be all over the place, but I did throw it on the screen for each time. But in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, this is what we find out. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust and from the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature. So it wasn't until God breathed into Adam that Adam was a living creature. He was just an existing being, but he had no life and no breath. It wasn't until God breathed into him that he had breath. So as Judah Smith would say, a pastor from Seattle, Washington, you and I live on borrowed breath. Did you know that? We live on borrowed breath. And this is what I would title my little talk with you this morning. Don't waste it. That breath you just took was not yours. It has been gifted to you and given by God and God alone. Don't waste it. So let's go to James chapter 1, verse 17. James chapter 1, verse 17, it's really neat too. It says this. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of lights. So I want you to look at that thing, I mean that pretty thing next to you. Okay, is somebody sitting next to you, I hope. Emily, you're just look at those purses there. But if you have your spouse here, look at your spouse. Just look at your spouse real quick. Okay, don't get too carried away now, okay? Just wait till after church. All right, but look at your spouse and look at the people around you. Did you know that that's not yours? You didn't make her, you didn't make him, but that is a good gift given to you from above. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. Each and every day when I wake up, the breath that I breathe, it is not mine. The job that I have, yeah, I get the paycheck, but God had gifted me that and blessed us with it. Every good gift that I get is not mine, but from Him. So don't waste it. Don't waste it. So if we were to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, this is what Paul tells us. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, if we were to take that and really apply it, we would realize what we would apply is that every breath that I take, every decision I make, every action I carry out, I should do to the glory of God. Did you know that this life isn't about building your legacy or retiring on a fat 401k? Did you know that every breath you take and every decision you make, every step you take, it is for the glory of God? That's why you exist. That's why I exist, is to bring glory to God by loving Him first and others second. I don't exist so God can praise me for how good I am or how hard I try. I exist to bring glory and honor to Him and Him alone. Don't waste it. Some of us are gifted with 100 years on this earth. And we can do a lot of things in 100 years, but did you know that James also tells us in chapter 4 that this life is like a mist, like a vapor, here and then gone? So 100 years may be a long time, but when we talk about in terms of eternity, it really amounts to nothing. Don't waste it. Whether you get 50 years, 30 years, 100 years, we are gifted each and every day to bring glory and honor to Him. But here's the reality. The reality is that each and every day we get to make the decision to either waste the breath that He has given us and the time and the resources and the blessings, or we make the decision to use them. Now, I'm just going to tell you, some of y'all waste time and waste breath on people who completely disrespect you and reject you. Some of y'all waste your breath and waste your time on people who will never amount to any eternal value, as in making disciples, and you try, and they completely reject you. They reject you. Let me just remind you, don't waste it. Don't waste it. So we can do one of two things. We can use the time, we can use the breath, we can use our resources to bring honor and bring glory to God, or we can waste it. We can worry about ourselves. We can build our name. We can build our money. We can build our this, our that. And we can just waste everything that God has gifted us with. And if you know John 10:10, I didn't throw this on the screen, but John 10:10 says this: the thief comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And if you remember a few weeks back, I preached on fear and faith and how fear is an opponent to our faith and how fear wants to minimize your faith today so you won't maximize it tomorrow. So this is what the enemy wants to do. And if we're not careful, we allow him to do it. The enemy wants to manipulate your mind so he can steal today. And what he wants to do is he wants to steal today to twist your mind to think that it's all about me, it's all about me, or everything's breaking in my life, everything's going bad, everything's going and falling apart, and he wants to manipulate your mind to steal today. And guess what he might do if he steals today? He'll kill tomorrow. Because if you have no hope today, he's going to try and kill tomorrow. And this is what he's going to do. If he can steal today, kill tomorrow, he's going to destroy days, weeks, months, years at a time, and then you're going to look back years down the road and realize, I wasted it. I wasted the last 5 years of my life in depression or pain or not doing anything to bring glory and to bring honor to God. I wasted it. And if he can steal your today, he'll kill your tomorrow and destroy weeks, months, years at a time. So it comes down to you deciding, me deciding, what am I going to do today? Am I going to waste this time? Am I going to waste this breath? Am I going to waste the resources in which God has given me? Or am I going to use them to advance his kingdom, spread his gospel, and make his name known? What am I going to do? Am I going to bring glory and honor to him in all things that I do? Or will I waste it? So our challenge is to use the breath that we have to bring glory to him. To use the breath that we've been given to not allow the enemy to destroy it, to steal it, and to kill it. And so this is what I want us to do. I want us to turn to Acts chapter 14. We're going to go to Acts chapter 14. And this is where we're at. If you remember a couple weeks ago, I preached about making disciples, and we used the church at Antioch as an example. And the church at Antioch was established by ordinary people that had no seminary degree, had no Bible college degree, had no church office. Their name wasn't on the bulletin. They were just ordinary people. So they went and they were dispersed because of the stoning of Stephen, and they established the church at Antioch by spreading the gospel to just random strangers and complete strangers. So in Acts chapter 14, what we have is Paul and Barnabas preaching to a city, not in Antioch, but they're preaching in a city, and this is what happened. Paul preaches, and Barnabas is teaching, and Paul sees a man. I want you to read the first part of 14, not right now, but on your own. And Paul heals a man that was crippled from birth. He was crippled from birth. Paul heals him. So this is what the people do. They say that gods must have come down to us in the likeness of man. And they compare Paul and Barnabas to Zeus and Hermes. And they're saying, these gods have come in, and here they are. And Paul and Barnabas hear about it. And Paul says, no. This is wrong. And he rebukes them because of their idolatry. And he tries to approach them and make aware of their idolatry and their sin and their false gods. And he tells them, no. It's not about Zeus. It's about Jesus. It's not about anyone else but Jesus. Only by Jesus was that man healed. Only by Jesus was I saved. So this is what happens after Paul confronts the people. It says this: but Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. But when the disciples gathered about him, he rose and entered the city. So let's just sit there and think about this. So Paul preaches the gospel. He realizes that after he was confronted by Jesus on the road to Damascus, that this is not my life. This is not my breath. So then he goes around preaching and proclaiming the gospel. And Paul, in his writings, lets us know and informs us that he was beaten horribly, beaten more than anyone else. And he was mocked and flogged and stoned numerous times and shipwrecked. And he goes on and on and on. But each time he got back up. Each time he kept going on. And what happens here is he's stoned and he's dragged out of the city. The people thought that he was dead. And this is what Satan wants you to do. Satan wants you to be spiritually dead. He wants you to be reminded time after time that people have abandoned you like they did Paul. That they're just leaving you out to die. They're just hanging you dry. He wants to remind you that people don't love you, that God's turned his back on you, that the cross was for everyone but you. And he wants you to just stay there, because if you'll stay on the ground, if Paul would have just stayed on the ground, then he would have breathed his last breath. He would breathe his last breath. And Satan wants to manipulate and control everything that you're doing now. And he wants you to just lay on the ground thinking that you are to die and that everyone's turned their back. But the Bible says that when the disciples gathered about him, he rose up and entered the city. So here is Paul today, left to die. People stoned him to death. And he's left to die, but he rose up and entered the city. And catch what happens in verse 21. And on the next day, he went on with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. Isn't that beautiful? Some of y'all are like, what do you... Yeah, he's just stoned to death. What do you mean that's beautiful? Well, it's beautiful because here is Paul today being stoned to death, left to die. People just abandoned him and hung him out there, and he's stoned. And then it says that tomorrow, on the next day, he went and did what? He went and preached the gospel. So because of the gospel of Jesus, he was just stoned and left to die. And he gets up and he goes on preaching the gospel. Because he realizes that this life is not for my name's sake. God isn't interested in...
So Paul's left out to die today, but in the morning he rose, and he walked, and he was sore, and he was beaten, and he was bruised, and he was hurting. But he went on, and it says that he went to the new city, and he preached the gospel, and that he made many disciples. So he may have been down and out, ready to die today. So the very thing that Satan's going to use to try to kill you spiritually, God's going to use to restore you and redeem you and build you. So this is what happens. He was left out to die today, but in the morning, he rose. In the morning, he went on. And it reminds me of this very popular verse that we love to say, we love to sing, we love to quote, found in Lamentations. It's in chapter 3. And it says this: the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Did you know that? When people turn their back on you, his steadfast love never ceases. When the enemy's wanting to come to steal, kill, and destroy your heart and your home, your family, and your hope, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. And the Bible goes on to say that his mercies never come to an end. And the very next part it says, they are new every morning. Let me just slow these things. But the Bible says they are new every morning. He goes on to say, great is your faithfulness. So Paul's left to die today, but in the morning he rose. Paul's left and abandoned today, but in the morning he rose. And I think what happened was when Paul woke up, as hurting as he was, wasn't as hard as it was to get up and walk. He took that first breath. We're alive. Today is a new day. He took that first breath. I'm still alive. And some of you, whenever you wake up in the morning, you take that first breath, you need to proclaim the name of Jesus, that the devil had a chance to take you while you were asleep. But you woke up and you rose up the next day and you take that first breath. And from this point forward, every morning when you take your first breath on your way to coffee, on your way to watch the news, on your way to work, or on your way to read it and to spend time with the Lord, you'll be reminded that His mercies are new every morning. I think the Apostle Paul realized that the very next day, because it was on the next day that he woke up and he breathed that breath. And he realized that this life is not about me. It's not for me. It's not for my namesake, but it's for His. So the next morning when he arose, he was reminded of the mercies of God given to him each and every day, because the Bible says that His mercies never come to an end and they are new every morning. So I challenge you, each morning from now on when you wake up, remind yourself of that. Remind yourself that today is a new day. Today is a new opportunity. Today is a new day for me to go and to show the love of Jesus to people, to wrap my arms around people who are hurting. Today is a new day for me to go and to be a smiling face to people who are broken. Today is a new opportunity and a new day for me to lean my shoulder into people who need someone to cry on. Today is a new day for me to be a light into this world of darkness and into my workplace and into my family. Today is a new day. So each and every morning when we wake up, we have the decision, am I going to use this for His glory and for His name, or am I going to waste it? Am I going to allow the enemy to manipulate today so he can also have tomorrow and he can dictate my life for weeks and months or years at a time? Or am I going to get up and dust the dust off my shoulders and start walking, even though it hurts? Because when Paul got up and started walking, and if he would look back to that city, he would have been reminded of the pain that he felt laying on the ground. And even though you keep walking, even though you keep pressing forward and try to keep pushing through, you cannot just kind of forget about everything and let me look back and remind you of what used to be. Yesterday I was hurting, but today I won't. Yesterday Paul was hurting, but today he moves forward. Yesterday I was hurting and down and out and about to die, but today I have life and I'm showing grace and mercy to those who need it. Today is a new day. Today I have new breath. Today His mercies are new for me. Today His love is new for me. Today His grace is new for me. Today I have new breath. Yeah, I may have been hurting yesterday. I may have been depressed for weeks or months. We may have had a struggle for years. And we may have been down to our last breath, down to our last dollar, down to our last hope. But today is a new day. Therefore, we must rise. Therefore, we must rise. We must rise up and walk. Because today is a new day. We're not down and out of bed anymore. We rose today. And I rose today. I was hurting. And it hurts to keep moving sometimes. And it hurts to keep pushing sometimes. And it hurts to take those steps after you've just been stoned to death. But Paul rose. Or we can go to this verse right here. Today is the day that the Lord has made. Let us, what's it say? Let us remember what happened and dwell in it. Right? That was today is the day of the Lord's made. Let us remember the pain that we felt and let's just dwell on it. Let us remember the sorrow or the weeks or the months that we were fighting and let's just live back in that pain. Let us remember the struggle that we had and the pain that we felt laying on the ground. Let's go back to that place. No, the Bible says, today is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Why do we rejoice? Because we're not down on the ground left to die any longer because we rose. So today is the day that the Lord has made. Not the day that you have made, or the day that I have made but the day that the Lord has made. Therefore, this day, because it's the day that He made, I will spend every breath for His glory. I'll spend every moment that I have and use every resource and every good gift that He has given me to bring glory to Him. I will see people who I may not speak to in the past, or I may not have spoken to them because of this, this, or that, but I will go to them. I'll wrap my arms around them because today is the day that the Lord has made. Therefore, I will rejoice in it. I will be glad in it. I'm not down and out any longer, but I rose up to move forward. Today is the day that the Lord has made. And what we get to do each day is we get to ask ourselves this: am I going to use the breath, the time, the resources, the gifts, everything that He has given me for His glory, or sometimes have I wasted? Do I allow the devil to manipulate my mind, to steal days out of my life? Anybody ever had days stolen out of their life? Weeks destroyed? Months pass by, and you look back and you're like, I wasted the breath that God has given me. But today, I rise up and move forward because I'm not on the ground any longer.